All right. Any response to Pentecost from anybody? All right. We're still in Luke 9, verse 27. And we're still looking at what death means. We were in Revelation 13 and we stopped. Is that right, Pete?
Yeah.
Let's go back there. And he was, in verse 3, and we studied it, but I'll just repeat it. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly head wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, the word death there is a word that really means literally the stroke of death. And I'm not sure why that's important, but I said it anyway. All right, then we go over to the other beast, which is really the same. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly head wound was healed. Now, what is that? We've talked about it, but let me reveal it. It's the beast getting religion, because the beast comes out of the earth. It didn't come out of the sea. Now he has two horns like a lamb. And so he's a religious beast. Doesn't matter what, whether he's Islam or Buddha or Christianity or Judaism. But he still speaks with the voice of a dragon. The dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. You're still worshiping the first beast, which is your mind, but now it's your religious mind. So everybody understand that?
It's all your imagery of God, what you think he should be, and everything religious teaches you that.
Well, it's not religion as we understand it. He can even be an atheist, but he's still getting his... He developed a system of thought. Doesn't matter whether it's what we think is religion or not. Is that clear?
I still see it in his imagery of what man thinks God is.
Well, but even if you... My point is, even if you don't think there is a God, you're still having a religion. That's why I expanded on it.
What you believe in is bigger than you are.
It's something different. It's something that's external. It can be a philosophy. It can be a way of whatever. It can be Ayn Rand. It can be...
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, but the point of those two words of death, it says the stroke of death. And it's a different word than it's used in the meaning of when the cross or your death. And it's I said I don't know why, but it's just a different word. One is just death. This one is the stroke of death, and the two times in Revelation 13.
Does it say stroke of death somewhere? I didn't see it.
Revelation 13, verse 3 and verse 12, where it says death in Greek, it's the stroke of death.
Okay.
And all other places, it's just death. And I don't know why. So we'll talk about it when I know why.
There seems to be also, in my mind, I'm thinking about this deadly head wound. It's kind of a paradox. I mean, how do you get healed from a deadly head wound?
That's the point.
That's the point.
You don't.
Well, it sounds kind of similar to when we talk about our death.
That's exactly the same.
We think we are, but not.
We think we're alive, but we're dead. Mm-hmm. But that's the that it's the it's given breath. The beast is risen from his deadly head wound at the point of self-consciousness.
It's like an almost deadly head wound.
Well, from God's standpoint, it's dead.
Well, yeah, I'm coming from the other side. They meet in the middle.
Right. Do you understand that the first beast, he's made alive at 18 months or somewhere before two, he's made alive because the child develops self-consciousness. And then when the self-consciousness moves to develop a system of thought, then it's the second beast. Instead of coming out of the sea, this time he's coming out of the earth.
Yeah.
Amen? All right. Now let's go to... Well, let's go to Romans 5. That's where we're going. Let's start in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, or instead of the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, or in sin is what it literally says, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our salvation is him, his life. You got it? All right. We're going to continue on. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. All men experience death, for that all have sinned. Until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Therefore death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure or type of him that was to come. But not as for the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification for life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So this is where we have the, from God's standpoint, there are only two generations. The generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. And from the generation of Adam are all dead, even those that appear to have life. So you understand? So we get this whole life-death situation. You've got to see it, otherwise you're going to start thinking. Well, you're going to use this thing to gain that thing. It can't happen. Amen. All right, now let's go to where we're delivered from it. Let's go to John 5. This is this whole, what it means, this whole idea of oneness. Remember the one verse where it says all that's one thing in one verse is Christ in us, we in Christ, and both in God. So there's no longer separation. You're not separate from either Christ or God. You are as one. And because that oneness, you cannot use the thing that caused the death. It's only apprehended by repentance. It's only apprehended by emptiness. In that emptiness, then the oneness is realized. So you must know by now, nothing can ever be addressed or considered from the mind. The best the mind can do is find out that if your mind has integrity, that you are dead meat. Your sin is a scarlet. And the highest that reason can take you is everything is in chaos. Now, when you go from chaos to something else, then that's your religion. That's your philosophy, because you've made an order of things so that it causes you to have some level of comfort in this phony world. And that's why any system of thought is a religion. Is that clear? And you've got to have that system of thought, because that system of thought has one goal for this thing. It automatically makes you have to be able to feel some sense of being right about something. And you'll die for that. You'll take a stand. You'll do everything. Even though it's obvious to everybody else, it's stupid. That's why the evil one is sitting in the temple of God, but he's only showing himself that he is God, because he's got to have a place of righteousness. This is the way the thing works. There's no exception. Doesn't matter whether you're listening to Bible studies or lectures on Hebrew or lectures on finance or lectures on anything else. That's the mystery of God, is this gospel into which we've been delivered is an enemy of every other form of thought that has ever existed. You got it? You can't join the two, because the minute you join, then you again have raised the evil one from his deadly head wound. Tom?
I'm good to go.
All right.
I'm seeing this as a spirit. You know, like if you have the Spirit of God, you have life. But if you raise yourself up, then, as you said, God backs off, and you go through your cycle, whatever it takes to get to repentance.
But you got to hear this, Gary. Everybody thinks they have the Spirit of God. They've even atheists say they admit there's some kind of a spirit of Christ. Go to the Unitarian Church. You'll always hear about the Spirit of Christ. Every man thinks it has to be manifested so that there is all total and complete emptiness in the vessel. Because the Spirit has to stand against this singular test. Herein, you know, there are many, many thought processes, but here's how you test it. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And it's locational sphere. You have to be able to confess that he is come in this flesh. And so there can't be two any longer. Otherwise, it's just a philosophy. And every spirit that confesseth not that he is come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that Antichrist, the instead of Christ. The instead of Christ will have all kinds of philosophies about Christ, because that's the nature of the beast. But the Spirit of Christ, the real Jesus Christ in the flesh, he has to do one thing. He has to empty totally to the Father. And the only way he is there is by your total emptiness, to the point of a vacuum. So what you believe about it is just another philosophy.
The spirits that you're talking about are just thoughts or concepts.
Right. That's why anything that doesn't have a body is spirit. All right. So.
Well, then just to take it the next step, is this is where death comes in.
Right. You can't be alive, and he do in you.
Right. So you may have a spirit, which you're calling Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean you're not dead, because you're not one with God.
Okay, here's the one about it. This is why we're studying this one. Starting verse 17. Jesus answered them and said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from," is what it says in Greek, "from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And it's an automatic process because of his emptiness. And that's why your emptiness has to be manifest to be in that same position. That's big. Otherwise, you'll just have thoughts about it.
This to me ties into Pentecost, because...
Well, it is, yeah.
Christ in you, once they've accepted Christ or whatever, then they're sanctified, their thoughts and everything else, and yet Christ in you does what you just said. He empties to the Father.
Right.
So there's always emptiness, and there's always God filling them.
And somebody comes along and has this, God told me last night, Jesus and I were visiting, or that's just crap. All right. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing from or of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What that means is he doesn't have a television set so he can see the Father doing something and then copy it or ape it. The oneness is so complete that because there's nothing of him as Son of Man in the way. And the only way you can make benefit of that is for you to be in the same position. Otherwise, your life, no matter how many times you've walked the aisle, how many Bible studies you've come to, is not a manifestation of him. It's a manifestation of what you think about him. You can sit here and think, this is what I think about that. Nobody cares. God cares that you've seen the emptiness and futility of your own activity and your own thoughts, and you've repented from them to the point of emptiness. Positive or negative? All right. For the Father loveth his Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Same thing. The Son is the one that makes him alive in us. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that heareth not the Son heareth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from the state of death unto the state of life, by his life. It's so simple. But your mind will constantly tell you, okay, this sounds good. This is what let's do. Okay. Boom. If there then is an instant manifestation of something, then you return, this is how you do it. Well, and you say, God told me to do that. No, he didn't. Or this is what I have to do in order to survive. No, it isn't. And so what you have to do as a Gentile to survive, but what the Son does is empty, never leaving that place of emptiness. And the disciple is the definition is, you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. His temptation was to never lean on his own arm of understanding about anything. And this is so radical, they'll kill you. And it doesn't matter what you believe about it. Oh, I think this is good, or I think this is stupid. Nobody cares. What he cares about is what's going on inside you on a second-by-second basis as life continues. That's what he looks at. He didn't look at how many times you walk the aisle or how many times you come to Bible study. That your emptiness, that the Son would be revealed, that the Son would be manifest and reveal the Father. That's all.
And what gets in the way of that?
You.
Accepting certain thoughts or
any thoughts.
Programs or
any thoughts. Especially the one that gets The one that's the biggest enemy now is Babylon, the Babylonian garment, because you return to cause and effect. The greatest enemy of faith and mercy and justice there is. Because if you know how to do something, then you don't need God, and so you don't need faith. And so by definition, then you justify it by saying, this is the natural world and this is a spiritual world. But I've got to exist in the natural world, so I've got to return to this is how you do it. That is heresy from God's standpoint. It's commonplace, even to the point of teaching you how to do stuff in the name of God. That's like making you a trained monkey. Has nothing to do with God. Amen? Everybody understand? This is where the tire meets the road, second by second by second of your life. And it looks like there's nothing there. You see the radical of it? All right, good. One more. Then we'll quit talking about death for a while.
I want to bring one point on this. It's like we're talking about the purity of faith, what it really is. Yes. Sure. Definition. But it's like you don't judge by what you see, you don't judge by what you hear.
And you don't judge by what you need. For life. He's always trying to resurrect himself from the dead.
Yeah, and he'll take phony life rather than real life, just for peace or safety or whatever, but it's...
Or for making a living.
Yeah, whatever it is. And, but that's the walk with God. Is
totally different. That's why it's an enemy of every form of thought on the face of the earth that ever has been. Because a form of thought is, in a sense, is a way to survive with righteousness. And the sad part is they've made that, Christianity that. All right, let's go to 1 John.
I have a question too. Back in John 5, at the beginning, this the pool of Siloam that gets stirred up every once in a while, and the first person to get in gets healed. How does that not encourage cause and effect? I don't understand why in the world God would do that, because it sounds to me like that's all over cause and effect.
It was a sign.
Sorry?
It was a sign of what faith is. And it's only manifested to the rarely.
Like sitting there for 38 years.
That's right. Okay. Or 500 years. There's no justice in it. We want God to be just in our understanding of what just is. We don't understand that God didn't even see us. The human race is dead. He can't look on iniquity. The love of God is centered in His Son only. So radical. Well, it says that's what it says. It's so radical they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service.
And it didn't bother me that God isn't just. There's a lot of that going around. What I don't understand is how is it that isn't teaching cause and effect?
What? The going in the pool?
The idea that the pool is
you can't go swimming until you go in the pool. He was still, no matter how hard, he was still trying to go swimming while he wasn't in the pool. Doesn't matter that the lesson of that is that it doesn't matter what we think about justice. It only matters that he heeded Jesus Christ. But you must see, every one of our thought processes, no matter how it is, has our definition of justice in it. We've taken the Word of God and then formed a sub-philosophy that what we think is justice or righteousness or good or fair. The only F word that's not allowed in this community is fair. His life, his meaning, his purpose has nothing to do with any idea that you have about what is just or fair.
I'm reminded that Jesus' disciples came to him, did this guy sin or did his parents sin that he would? And Jesus said it was so that the power of God manifested. So fair doesn't bother me a bit. I still don't understand why God would
have this guy go in the pool.
No, why it structures something that so obvious is when the water is stirred, caused, then there's an effect. So I'm the first person maybe to see it.
All right. Let's go back. What's the only way that us what is the water? What does the water symbolize?
People, all people.
No, it's still water. It's a pool.
Still water, okay. I don't know.
I want your homework is to pray about this and earnestly seek the meaning instead of somebody just telling you. You do that?
Yeah.
And anybody else is questioned by the same thing? Every one of us, including me, if I paid attention to my mind, I would have to come to the conclusion that we are dealing with an unjust God who in many ways is evil by any man's understanding. But see how we place that meaning of justice, of fairness? We've got to get that into the system. And so we're trying to make that parable and all parables conform not only to show us the mystery of Jesus Christ, but to make it see that it conforms to the sub-paragraph that we've created. And so when we look through the scriptures, it always is interpreted through that template. And therefore, we see nothing. Because it's, in effect, a reflection. We see a reflection of ourselves.
The thing is, fair doesn't bother me a bit. It doesn't bother you.
Well, one thing I bet it bothers you.
What bothers me is the cause and effect is such a terrible thing, and this seems to be encouraging it. That's what bothers me.
All right, I want you to really seek this answer, and we'll do one more day on death. I thought I would be done with it, but this one has to be seen. Anything else? Take it, big guy. Just in time for the... What's that?